I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads Review. In this episode, we are going to be discussing Mike Tyson, the Hot Boxing Podcast with guest Dana White. I don't think he numbers his shows, but yeah, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads Podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Very exciting. Adam is back on this episode, finally. People thought you died, dude. People thought you were dying.
I thought I had. But it turns out, no, it was all a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, well, we're going to unpack that in this. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're talking about Mike Tyson on, or Dana White, rather, on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. I have a question, though, before we get into it. Has Dana White ever been on the Rogan show?
Technically, yes. But unlike any other guest, I would say technically no. So it was a UFC in Australia that Rogan was commentating on before he stopped doing international UFCs. So they all flew out there, and they were all sat in first class on the way back, and Rogan did a podcast with Tony Hinchcliffe. And because it's first class, you know, they're all either sleeping on those fancy lay-down beds that they get up there or just, like, wandering around. Dana was just bored and just walked over to see what they were up to, found out they were doing a podcast, and sat down with them for about half an hour.
Oh, really?
And it was great. And he told great stories. Like, he told a story about his daughter. They had this pit bull that they loved. It was their dog, and it was always cool. And one day just bit his daughter's ear off.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a crazy story, and Joe didn't even know about it. So it was like, it wasn't like Dana comes in and he's boring. He just, like, was great. But, you know, he just did, like, 30 minutes and was like, all right, guys, cool. I'm just going to go back to my seat. And that was kind of the end of that. I don't really know why he hasn't gone on.
I don't know. I mean, he definitely doesn't need the publicity at all. He's doing just fine.
But
it would be a great conversation.
Maybe in the earlier day, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess Joe's show has only been, like, massively famous worldwide since, like, 2017. Maybe Dana was just big enough with the UFC then. It just didn't matter. You know, it might be that.
Yeah.
And now, think about it. I mean, Joe talks about UFC all the time. He has many, many fighters on all the time promoting the UFC.
Yeah,
there probably just isn't a need for it. There isn't
That's
a need.
True.
But it's not that he doesn't like or enjoy going on podcasts. Dana goes on quite a few podcasts. He's into it.
Yeah, he is. It's just interesting to me why he hasn't, because that's, like, the biggest podcast, and I feel like that would be a great conversation. But No, yeah. So it's
and
good.
And of all the people that could easily get on, like, he could just text Joe and be like, yeah, I'm in town. Let's do a pod.
Yeah, and I feel like that show would blow up. Like, people would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe one day.
It's unusual. It's one of those things, man. I mean, but if you think about it, there's a lot of interesting guests that,
for whatever reason, have
just not gone on Rogan. And, you know, I don't think he reaches out too heavily just for, like, stardom stuff.
Yeah, I think he really reaches out to what he enjoys. And I feel like at this point, he's definitely not going to have somebody on the show for any other reason than he wants to talk to them, which is 100%. How it should be. But
not everyone has that luxury. People are trying to push their shows, you know, they're trying to just make them big. But what did you think of the style of Tyson's podcast? Have you listened to many of these before?
I've seen clips from a bunch of them before. None of them have been, like, really, I don't know. I see Mike Tyson more on featuring on other people's podcasts than I do his own clips from the show, for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that makes sense.
I thought the format of the show was good. I wish they had, like, headphones. Because there's so many times where you can tell you can't hear them. And Mike Tyson, especially, sometimes it's pretty hard to hear. And he doesn't say things very clearly. So I wish that he had, like, the guests had headphones that they could.
Well,
because you can hear how loud you sound in the headphones. That's why you wear them, you know?
That's the point. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, but now so many of them are doing that, like, studio video setup. It's like they're doing it more for YouTube, so they're making it like a TV show almost. And when you do that, if you don't have a good producer like Jamie keeping an eye on the sound, you won't realize that it's dropping. So there was a third guy on this show. I watched the video for it instead of
the video
just on.
Was better.
Yeah, but watching it, there was a third guy. Okay, the other dude, and you couldn't hear him the whole time.
Yeah,
they completely fucked his mic.
I don't know who that guy was, but.
Yeah, just a friend of Mike's, I think, that's been around for a while. But yeah, it was a mess because, you know, he would come in with ideas or, like, thoughts, and you just couldn't hear what they were.
Yeah, you could just hear people react to it. But I think it's very, like, relaxed, very laid back. Like, they're just on couches. It's very similar to, I think, like, I don't know if you've ever watched clips from the Full Send podcast, but that's what they do. They everyone has a microphone, like, I think the same ones we have, and they just hold them. They don't have a stand, or sometimes they have a stand, but a lot of times they just hold the microphone. And yeah, it makes for interesting shows. I've seen some comedians do the same thing. And I guess the idea is, like, I mean, you can really put a podcast studio anywhere, but, you know, why not do it on your couch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll set up the studio that we have, like the one you're in now that I left. That to me is, like, the best way to podcast.
Yeah,
though
I
it's
think
not
so.
The best way necessarily to do video, even though Joe still does it that way, right?
Yeah.
So in a sense, podcasting video is newer. So you've got, like, Andrew Schultz does more of the just couch setup. So does kind of like the Logan brothers, a lot of these people.
Yeah.
People are moving away from it because it's better for video, but because Rogan just keeps it old school, you know, and I say old school, it's like, how old is podcasting? It's not that fucking old, but he keeps that kind of setup. It's like, I understand why they would want to do it. I personally would never care to podcast like that. Maybe. I mean,
like with
if I went on someone else's show, it'd be fine. Yeah, I mean, but I don't want to do it that way.
I
like facing the person.
Yeah,
I want
a
real conversation. I'm not facing a camera, dude. Fuck that.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, the TV shows, like the morning news shows, or really any news show, or, like, sports entertainment, where they just have, like, a table and everyone, it's all centered around the camera. There's, like, a studio and all this shit.
It's less natural.
It feels
definitely
a bit
taking
weird.
Away from the conversation, I think.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I thought it was hilarious. Mike was just eating, I don't know whose popcorn it was. Someone gave him popcorn, but he was just eating that the whole time.
I think it was Dana's. I think that's Dana's popcorn company.
Did he start a popcorn company?
I'm not sure. I think he's got some products.
I bet he does. That guy is a businessman, let me tell you. One of the best. I mean, I can't think of anybody else in sports right now. I mean, it's different because the UFC is like one big thing, whereas like, you know, in the NFL, there's all these teams. But there's really nobody else who is like the face of a sport like Dana White is. Like, I can't really think of any other sports that are like that.
I don't think so. Like, yeah. I mean, you might know some like owners of individual NFL teams, but like to have like somebody that runs the entire sport is like constantly there, you know, all the time, and the real face of it. I mean, no one's done it like Dana.
Yeah, because I mean, he does, obviously he owns the thing, but he does all of, I'm sure he's the one picking fights and stuff. He does all of the weigh-ins, all of the like press conferences for every single fight, like every single time. And so, yeah, I mean, he's always there, which has got to be a fun job, I bet. I bet that's incredibly stressful, but that also must be a cool job to be able to be front stage of every single UFC fight.
Oh, yeah. He loves it, too.
Yeah.
Like, fucking loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All about it, man. And, I mean, you know, also now being in a position, like, obviously he grew up, like he said, knowing Tyson. I mean, you know, Tyson's been in the game so young. I mean, he was, like, 18 and he was world famous. So even though they're the same age, I mean, he's like 20 years of celebrity, more experience than even Dana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like his whole life that he can remember was just being massively famous.
Yeah. I remember they were talking about, because I guess he went to Italy or something, and Dana was like, how the fuck do you not get, like, how do you do that? There's no way. You must get swarmed with people. Because, I mean, Mike Tyson has to be one of the most easily recognizable faces in the world. I mean, the guy has a face tattoo. He's like, everyone knows him. You can't anybody else. Like, there's no 100%. Lookalike person like that.
Who wouldn't want to shake the hand of once the toughest human on the planet?
Yeah.
Like, someone who was, they would literally put the toughest guys in the world against him and he'd starch him in one round.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an absolute animal. He's actually very hilarious, too. I had one of my friends when I was a freshman. He was like a dorm buddy of mine or something like that. He said that he knew one of his friends who met Mike Tyson, actually. Like, I can't remember where, but they said that Mike Tyson like gave them mushrooms, which is kind of crazy. Like, wow. Met him, and then he was like, here, you want some mushrooms? And dude, they just gave him mushrooms.
He was on a podcast not that long ago. I'm trying to think who he was on with. I think it was it was Logan Paul.
Where he just eats 5 grams, just dried up.
Dude, he ate just 5 grams. He was like, give it to me.
That video is the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen. Just imagining doing that myself. Because I've tried to. And honestly, taking mushrooms is the worst part of the entire experience. And to eat them dried, you have to have a stomach for that. They just not tasty at all.
But it's not just that. I mean, okay, so you can bosh them down. Like, that's not great, but like, chew enough, you get through it. But the fact that the next 5 to 6 hours of your life is like chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Like,
yeah,
holy
I mean,
shit.
Doing a podcast, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That guy is from another planet, definitely.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I did one once on mushrooms. It was
a podcast.
It was interesting. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. It would definitely wasn't 5 grams. Believe me. I mean, it was maybe.
Yeah, that's a big dose.
1.5. Yeah, it was like
five is like small. I don't even do that once a year. That's like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to be around other people when I do that.
No,
I want to sit quietly and contemplate. Yeah, or get scared. Yeah. Look, it's fucking Mike Tyson, man.
I wonder.
He's faced fears that you can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, though. It's interesting to hear him. He didn't talk about it on this podcast, but on other podcasts, I've heard him talk about mushrooms, and he's like, it sounds like it's like a great drug for him. It like chills him out, makes him like appreciate things. Like one of my favorite Mike Tyson clips is when he's on 60 Minutes with, I don't know who was doing it at the time, but he's got all like his medals on the table, all his belts from when he was boxing. And the guy doing the interview is like, look at this. This is history. And he's like, this is garbage. He's like, this meant something when you were a kid and, you know, this is all your world was. But when you get older, you just want your family to be happy. And so your priorities change. And I was like, dang, Mike Tyson, that's actually some incredible wisdom there.
Yeah, that's dope, dude.
I was like,
I mean, but to think of how admired he was for being at the top of his game for so long. I mean, when you like stand on the top of that mountain for long enough, you know, you're like noticing yourself and your own behaviors and your feelings and what's important to you. And then you probably think, what? Wow, I chase this. Everyone else is chasing this. Everyone else admires me for it, but it doesn't fulfill me as much as other things.
Like, yeah,
you know, you just can't unsee it then. And it probably does really make you appreciate other things. You know, you think most people have to find that on their own. They don't get to be the champion of the world in order to feel it or see it clearly. They just have to believe, oh, I shouldn't chase money, or I shouldn't just chase girls, or I shouldn't just chase whatever. It's like they have to decide for themselves, like, this is not going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
And
I feel like as an athlete too, like you get to a point as an athlete, especially incredibly high level one like he was, and you like his retirement speech is one of my favorites, because he just admits, like, honestly, he's just like, I don't have it anymore, and he just retires. And so I bet like that realization and having that become like, because I imagine if you spend your entire life boxing until you're like 35 and then one day you're like, well, I guess I'm not gonna box anymore, at least professionally, like that's gotta mess you up internally. That's gotta take serious psychological adjustment to get used to.
I mean, his whole identity was being a winner, you know, and then all of a sudden it's gone because he has to do something else.
Yeah.
He's been through some ups and downs, man. I mean, he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars for a long time, and he got to a point where he was broke.
Yeah.
Like, blew it all.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But he's doing great now.
It was cool to hear Dana talk about how back in the day, I guess they knew like one of the same gyms, and Dana would show up there as a nobody. Like Mike didn't know who he was, but he knew, you know, the kind of entourage that Mike had, and he would buy everyone in his crew a new car after he won. Like, he really took care of his own. You gotta love that
stuff. I like that story. Yeah, because I feel like most people don't want to believe that like people who are absolute killers are like really sweet and kind people. Like, especially Mike, like, I'm sure after he went to prison, everybody was like, he's the worst person ever. And, you know, it's interesting when you hear somebody who's like, actually, I knew this guy really well, and he always took care of everybody.
Yeah, talk about a comeback. I mean, to be fair, though, that the lady that accused him of rape ultimately said, no, he didn't.
Yeah, that's and fucked up.
That's really fucked up that he had to go to jail for it, and it
probably was good for him,
life.
Though. Because I've heard him talk about this, actually, on different shows, and he said that was, I don't remember if he said it was, like, the happiest he's been in his life, or it was something along those lines, where he was just talking about how freeing it was, not having to deal with everything. And he came out of prison way more jacked than he did going into it. Like, he was an absolute killer when he came out of jail.
I don't think he was a better fighter, though. I can't remember if he, was better at boxing after jail. But, you know, I think it took a toll.
Yeah, because I can't imagine anyone would want to touch him in jail. I mean, can you imagine? He's probably not practicing fighting all that much in jail.
No. Okay, so here's a thing from something online. It said, but when he got out of prison, he really changed. He lost a lot of his head movement, but still had a bit. His power was still there, but he wasn't throwing big punch combinations like he did in his prime. It's a shame he didn't stay with Rooney, whoever Rooney was. I guess maybe he changed coaches or something.
Oh, yeah, that could have been it.
But, yeah, he did lose something, you know, and you pay the price for it. But ultimately, it's like, that was his journey, you know, and he's had a wild journey, man. It's like maybe there was another chapter that needed to happen.
Yeah. You know? What is he doing now? He has obviously the podcast.
He makes good money off that. He has a big weed company, and I'm sure he does speaking engagements. Yeah. You know, people want him to show up to places. They probably pay him a lot just to kind of show up and chat with people. It seemed to me, and I don't know if it's just because he's getting stoned a lot, but he was struggling to talk a little bit, clearly.
I think he was just stoned.
He might have just been really stoned. Yeah,
I mean,
because I've heard him
be how much he was munching on those that popcorn that Dana had. He was really into
that. Yeah, munchies,
dude. I will say, when I was in New Mexico earlier this summer, I went to this dispensary and they had Mike Tyson weed. They had this blunt, and I was kind of disappointed at first because it didn't have any tobacco in it, which is annoying. Like, if you buy a blunt from a dispensary, it should, if you're going to call it a blunt, it should have tobacco in it. But anyways, it was a terpene infused joint. And let me tell you, dude, this is the strongest weed I have ever had in my life. I took two hits from this joint and I almost passed out. It was insane.
No,
I don't know.
Shit.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're putting in that shit, but it was crazy. It was absolutely the strongest weed I've ever had in my life.
What do you do? Just take a break and
yeah, I just chill out. Sat under a tree for half an hour.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I didn't know this, but I guess Mike Tyson and Dana White have been friends for years, over 20 years now. And I guess they do a lot of business together, and they're really close, which is cool. I had no idea.
They've known each other a long time in Vegas.
Yeah, I bet. I guess Dana was the one who hooked Mike Tyson up with that shark deal thing. I don't know if you ever saw that. Yeah. But that was hilarious.
I saw some clips. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch some of those clips because I remember seeing the ad for it, and I was like, what the fuck? That's going to be awesome. And yeah. I'm sure it was.
We'll put a link in the bio to the YouTube of that.
Yeah. But, I guess he did not want to do that. Originally, he said his shark instructor had an arm and a leg missing or something from a shark attack, which is pretty concerning, honestly. If someone was giving you a lessons on how to skydive and they killed themselves, you know, or I don't know,
I know what you mean, but look at it this way: if you had, if you met a real pirate and he wasn't missing an arm or a leg, if he didn't have a peg leg or a hook,
that's
wouldn't
true.
You be how good of a pirate are you really?
That's true. That's true.
Or an eye patch.
Or it's like when you have a fat chef, you're like, he probably knows how to cook really good.
Yeah, skinny chef, you can't trust that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not good.
No, so there's something there. There's something there. What did you think about the Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg fight? So Dana's somewhat getting involved. I guess Elon is like trying to push away from that, though Mark's fully involved. Elon needs to, look, I'm a huge fan of Elon. You know this.
I'm pro-Elon as well.
Yeah, exactly. I've never been a huge fan of Mark, but I have to say, bro, I like Mark's attitude with this. He's like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, and he's actually training.
And then Dana goes to the talks to the Colosseum guys in Italy.
That would be the greatest moment of modern history. That would be the greatest thing
of our century. It's $1 billion fight.
Yeah.
It has to happen. You can't tease us with this. All right? That's like dating a girl that the whole date talks about how much she wants to give you a blowjob, and then the end of it is like, I got to go home and feed my cats.
Yeah, that's a total turnoff.
Yeah, don't do that.
I would love to see that happen. I think I saw a clip on Instagram a couple days ago where Andrew Tate and his brother like reached out and like said something about this, and they're like, listen, if this is for real, Elon Musk, we would love to train you. And they were like offering to train Elon Musk and like fly him out there and stuff, because he would need some training. I mean, Elon's also a much bigger dude than
Andrew
Mark
Tate
is.
Was a world champion kickboxer.
Yeah, they know a thing or two about fighting.
He's like, when it comes to kickboxing, he'd be an excellent person to teach him. Elon has been, he's rolled with GSP. George
St. Pierre. Yeah, he's got that jujitsu. Are you talking about Elon or Mark?
Yeah, no, Elon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Elon trained with, I know he trained with Lex Friedman recently. But here's the thing, Elon actually has a judo background.
Yeah, I've heard this.
I don't know how good, but he has it, you know?
Yeah, I think.
I just say, listen, you're fucking Elon Musk. You're super rich. I know you're like, got your hands in 50 pies of business and R&D, but just outsource it for 6 months. You know, just be like, all right, I got good people in place. You're all smart. Take care of it. Only talk to me about the most important shit. I'm going to spend all day training with the world's greatest assassins. And then Zuckerberg does the same thing. And in 6 months, they're hyper winners, bro. They're super smart.
They're both
they can
nerds.
Learn this. Super nerds. And it could be a good fight, dude. It could be amazing.
I hope it's...
The world goes on standstill if that happens, I think. Everything shuts down.
Yeah.
We're only watching this. Period.
No, because I think this fight is so much more than just two hyper successful people. It really is, like, in my mind, it's like you have Elon Musk, who's on the side of like free speech and like is obviously super rich, but he is not willing to be like blind to what the government is doing and is like really intelligent and wants us to advance as a species. And then on the other side, you have Mark Zuckerberg, who has obviously created Facebook and is like kind of in this weird spot where it is like all this censorship shit and like kind of some dark areas of the government and, you know,
yeah, he's just not edgy.
Yeah.
He's not edgy, dude.
And he's
and
also
you know what?
Not
but
funny.
Look at this. Look at this. This is the first time he's been a bit edgy.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Now he's doing it his way. He's just doing it by training and doing some fighting. But look how much respect he's gained already by being a little edgy. And he's not even doing a lot of it. So I hope he leans into this. And he's like, you know what? Maybe I should just fucking be myself and be a bit wild and not give in to like what the FBI is telling me I can release or how I need to do things. Maybe I should go back to basics and be like free speech is where it's at. And, you know, this could be a turning point. Look, at the end of this, Elon and Zuckerberg, if they have this fight, they will have a new kind of connection. It will be, I think they will be tight. Because they basically have to think about each other in ways that they never had to before. Like this is a momentary enemy. You have to obsess over this individual. You have to get to know them. You have to get in their mind. You have to do all of that shit. It's going to make them tight. And in a way, if they get on the same page with all their social media stuff, it could be an incredible collaboration. with some real fun.
I would love to see something like they do the fight and then like the proceeds go to some charity or I don't know what it would
That's
be.
That's what they're
like,
doing.
That would be awesome.
It's going to veterans.
Yeah.
Elon already said that.
That's great.
And they think they can raise $1 billion fucking dollars,
I'm
dude.
Sure they can, dude. Honestly, because that would be worldwide international mm-hmm. news. They should throw Bezos in there too. Make it a 1v3, you know? Make it a three-person fight.
here's what's going to happen, right? They're going to have this fight. It's going to be the biggest thing. Bezos is going to feel left out, and Bezos is jacked. I don't know if you remember what he used to look like his whole life. Huge nerd.
He was really skinny.
Jacked.
He's probably and on dude, some crazy steroids.
He's the one that's the most retired. So he could go into training full on and imagine if he took on the winner. And then we had the next super billionaires.
How old is Jeff Bezos?
Bezos is regardless of his age, he's jacked.
Oh, he's 59 years old. Elon is
pretty old.
52. Mark Zuckerberg's got 13 years on Elon Musk, though. He's 39.
Yeah.
That age probably plays
Yeah, and that, that shit's going to pay off. That's going to pay off. 52 is old to be fighting, dude. It's old. Like, Elon's endurance, it's going to be, and he's so much bigger, it's going to be very hard for him to keep good endurance during this.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cameron Haynes runs the Moab 240. He can run 240 miles straight. So human beings can do it.
Yeah.
And he just has to focus on that like if, you know, anyone focuses on anything, I think. It's doable, dude. You know, the only billionaire you're not going to see in that ring is fucking Bill Gates. He would get his ass kicked.
He's probably the most unhealthy person ever, and he has the audacity to go around being a health advisor.
Right. Eat these freaking impossible burger bullshit.
Take the vaccine,
you'll be as healthy as me.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't have much respect for Bill Gates.
You could literally punch assassinate that guy. That's how easy it would be. You'd be like just a little shot to the gut and he'd just be done.
Yeah. That guy deserves a shot to the gut.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Well, I'm not advocating killing Bill Gates. I want to be clear about that.
We're not advocating that at all. But if someone
I am saying that he is definitely a huge pussy.
Oh,
I mean, Warren Buffett's 92. I think Warren Buffett could kick Bill Gates' ass.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
He still drinks like 4 gallons of Coca-Cola every day. Still be
92 though? Warren Buffett.
How the fuck is he still alive?
No, how is he still so like cognizant of everything going on? Holy shit.
I don't know. You know, I wish we were saying the same thing about our president, but unfortunately we're not.
Dude. How old is Biden again?
He's like 80 something. 80? 82, I think.
All right. Yeah, that guy's fucked.
Fucking Neanderthal. Anyway, speaking of fights, did you see any of the Jake Paul Nate Diaz fight?
Of course I did. Yes.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I don't really know what I was expecting, but I think I have a little bit more respect for Jake Paul now, you know.
Me too. I mean, he fucking held his own.
Yeah. You know? I heard he called out Canelo though, and I was like, "Come on, dude. Like, really?"
No, bad move. Not
yeah,
the
that's
move.
A bad move. Like yeah, that guy's going to kill you. Yeah, that's the thing. I think like
just keep fighting UFC fighters that are like slightly past their prime and you know,
you'll be fine. Yeah.
Just take advantage of it.
I think, it always annoys me whenever they have the, like when Conor fought Floyd. It's like Conor's a UFC fighter, you know? Yeah, he's a great striker, but it's like you're not going to be able to beat somebody who's that great at boxing, you know? And I think with Nate too, like if it was MMA, he would have killed him.
Conor, honestly, that fight was underrated. Conor did exceptionally well against Mayweather. He got to 10 rounds. He got some legit shots off. He was never going to win. Yeah. Never. Anyone that knows boxing, you're never going to win. And it's the greatest defensive fighter of all time. But it wasn't the biggest ass kicking ever. I mean, to be fair to anyone that's like a boxing purist, probably, you know, Mayweather was like taking it easy somewhat. He didn't want to, you know, he wanted it to be a spectacle. He didn't want to just like rock him like immediately. But it was a decent fight, dude. Conor got like a legit uppercut on Mayweather. And to put that in perspective, Mayweather was 49-0 professionally, like the most dominant performance in boxing history for a career. And he literally fought some of the best boxers in the world and didn't even take a hit from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not even a hit. Conor fucking nailed him.
Yeah.
At least once.
That's good. I mean, I guess.
Well, it's impressive.
Know. Yeah.
It's unusual and it's unlikely. Like, it's unlikely. But, you know, that was really the beginning of these types of fights. And I think
these,
Jake
like,
Paul
weird
is like.
Ones.
Well, Tyson talked about it recently. He's like, dude, I have to say, I'm a fan of people that can put asses in seats. And Jake Paul can do it.
He can, yeah.
I mean,
he's
boxing's
got a big mouth.
Been on the decline. You know, there's heavyweight boxing is big now, right? Canelo fights still, you know, a popular, but not
as. Is he heavyweight? No, he's not heavyweight.
No, Canelo, no. He's been going up weight, though. He's like 180 now, but he's not heavyweight. But boxing is just generally on the decline. It's not as popular as it was. It just isn't as interesting. Thank God they still have a pretty strong heavyweight, you know, weight class. That's worth watching because that's always the best. We've lost that. We're like, we haven't had that since the 90s, since basically Tyson and, you know, Holyfield and those guys. But, it's just not that popular. And he's really bringing it back. I mean, he makes people watch boxing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. Honestly, I have a bit of respect for both of them, the Jake Paul brothers, you know? I mean, Logan has made so much money with the Prime thing. It's ridiculous. They're like the official sponsor of UFC now, which is kind of crazy.
That's nuts because Dana has talked so much shit
about right?
the Logan brothers. And also he's still in massive conflict with Jake because Jake's always calling him out about, he was actually on Tyson's show right after
I saw that,
Dana.
Right. So,
and
yeah,
he was talking shit. He was talking shit about, the payout and how Dana doesn't pay his fighters. And it's a lot of pressure on the UFC. I mean, Francis Ngannou left the UFC over that. I mean,
really?
it's big contention right now. So whatever, you know,
see,
Dana's a businessman at the end of the day. He knows Prime's going to make him a lot of money.
Yeah.
He knows where the money is. He's a smart guy. Dana knows what he's doing.
I thought it was funny. They had a Dana and Jake had a dispute where I can't remember who started it, but it was something along the lines of Dana calls Jake out for steroids, and then he doesn't really acknowledge it that much, or maybe he lies about it. But Jake Paul like claims that Dana is like a massive cocaine head, And then Dana's like, I will get a drug test every single 6 months for the rest of my life to prove that I am not on cocaine if you get one single steroid test. And then that pretty much shut him up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was
great. I don't think Dana does that. You know, Rogan openly talks about not doing it. They've seen that fucking slippery slope, dude. They don't.
I feel like you can't be that successful and also be a cokehead. Like, unless you're the one selling coke, you know. But even then, like, I don't think you can perform at that high level of business. Although Wolf of Wall Street, I mean, that's an exception, but that was all illegal.
But nah, he went to jail too.
It's pretty hard to. He got caught. Yeah, it's pretty hard to make it as a successful cocaine head in business. Just, you know, for all the kids listening out there, if you're going into business, don't do cocaine. It's not good for you.
No. Give you a headache.
What's the deal with this power slap thing, man? This stuff is taking off
now,
a lot.
This is interesting, right? Because when I first saw it, I was like, Jesus Christ, Dana, this is fucking nuts. Barbaric.
It is pretty
crazy. And kind of stupid. It looked very Russian.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, Dana knows. It's getting hundreds of millions of views, and people fucking are into it, dude.
It's very
entertaining
to watch.
I think it is because it's like arm wrestles. You know what I mean? Yeah. Have you ever noticed when like two douchebags at a bar just decide to arm wrestle? And it's such a douchey move, but everyone will watch it. Everyone watches. Everyone wants to know. It really is like the sign of a man. Like, are you strong at arm wrestling? In the same way, the setup is similar. You're across from a table and you just fucking whack each other in the face. I don't know if I could get into it. Maybe. I mean, who knows? We'll see how time goes. Maybe it gets so big and they get some interesting people, but.
Like, what goes into making someone a great slapper? Like, obviously, being a big guy probably helps, but is there any technique involved? Like.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Look, there's two things going on, right? It's not just how good your technique is at slapping people. It's how good you take a slap.
Yeah,
so you
true.
Have to have two things. And what was interesting, and it was surprising when he said it, because this has always been my assumption, whoever goes first has the massive advantage.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense.
Because you rock the other person, and now they have to slap from like a point of possible concussion.
Yeah.
But Dana said it's like 52%. You only have a 2% advantage going first. I don't know how true that is, but I think he's basing it on the fights that they've had. It's like, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win. It doesn't give you a huge advantage.
Yeah, I've seen, I guess there's like certain rules. I wish I knew what the rules were, because I was watching one clip and the guy like flinched a little bit. He like, his face moved. He like kind of braced for it, like the slap to come, and they had to redo it because he flinched. It was like a foul. But I guess the guy who was slapping, he like, I think you're not allowed to move your feet, or you're not allowed to like wind back a crazy amount. And I think he like did that, or maybe he followed through with it, or it was something like they were both wrong in that stance and they had them redo it, which sucks for the guy getting slapped.
Yeah, two slaps.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that sport for anyone. I'll tell you that.
That's a tough way to make a buck.
Look, dude, being a boxer, unless you are a lighter weight like Mayweather and incredibly defensive, you are unlikely to get out of that sport without some pretty severe CTE.
Brain damage, yeah.
UFC, they're not seeing as much of that. Right.
It makes sense though, because you know you're knocking the guy out, and then you know they can get up, or you know like in boxing they get knocked out, and then they have them stand back up again, and you keep fighting. Whereas in the UFC, if you get rocked and you can't defend yourself, that's it. The fight's over. You know, so there's like a certain point where they cut it off. In the UFC,
it's still bad to get knocked out.
But
the fact is, you know, it could be jiu-jitsu, it could be submissions, it could be leg shots, it could be body shots. Yeah. It's like, you know, the headshots are brutal, but boxing is like primarily all
headshot.
tap, millions of times, right to the head, over and over and over again. And that damage builds up.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
But massive slaps to your face? Like, how do you even train for that when you're in training? Are you just taking slaps to the face?
You just go on a bender of meeting a bunch of shitty women, probably. You just wait to get slapped a bunch. I don't know.
It's blowing up. So he got, I think, Lorenzo Fertitta, who was his buddy from high school that was eventually became a billionaire and owned casinos. So there were the Fertitta brothers, two of them. They helped Dana buy the UFC originally back in like 2000 or 99 for like $2 million. And eventually under the a business called Zuffa, I think, they sold it for like $4.3 billion. In like, I don't know, 2018, 2020, whatever it was. And, you know, then the Fertitta brothers moved on, right? They went back to their casinos, did their other things. They made a lot of money. And now Dana has gone back into business with them, or one of them, buying this. And it's fucking blowing up. So good for Dana,
dude. Oh, he went back to the same people for the slap thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you got friends that are billionaires, they're probably the first people you should talk to about your investment ideas, yeah, especially if you've just helped them make like $2 billion over 20 years. I mean, yeah, Dana's no fucking joke, dude. I mean, he even talked about, who's that guy, Hasbullah?
Yeah.
The little midget guy online. He's made that guy over $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you, whatever Dana's idea is, if he comes up with one and wants you involved, get involved. You're going to make some money.
Yeah, it'd be exactly. Fun. Yeah, he's a great promoter as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess good. Before, by the way, are you watching the fights tonight?
I was just going to say, yeah, I'm going to try to. I think we used to do them at the studio, but then your bitch ass left, and now no one is going to... I'm going to have to step up and start doing it. But yeah, I think we're going to go out and watch it. I really want to watch this one because I remember when Aljamain fought somebody like in the beginning of summer or in the spring. He like won. And then he fought Cejudo recently, and it's just been a build-up. And this is like one of the events that I've like actually been hyped around watching and stuff. I think it's going to be a big moment for both of them, either way it goes. Yeah.
Well, Sean O'Malley's from Montana.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's
so,
from Helena.
Yeah, people need to be watching it, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Look, dude, it'd be easy to set the fights up at the studio. You just got to tell everyone you're going to set one up, get some pizzas in, and, you know, make sure you collect some money. Of course, I have more money than you, so I didn't need to collect that money. But you're going to have to do that.
I'm going to start charging.
You do it.
Yeah.
It's fun over there, dude.
Like,
and it'd
hey,
be
sir,
a great...
Sorry, I noticed you use the bathroom. That's going to be 25 cents.
It'd be a great thing for you to get organizing over there, though, I think.
Yeah,
good.
I'd just like
so
to
fun,
have somewhere
dude.
To watch them, man. And we had a great setup here, dude.
Fuck yeah, that's
it
the
was
best.
Awesome.
It's the best setup there.
Yeah,
sure.
No, it's great.
Until I can build another one that will be even better.
Yeah, who do you think's going to win this fight tonight?
I don't know. They're both tough as fuck. I mean, I kind of want Sugar to win just because I like his style.
Yeah, me
Super
too.
Super chilled. He's a great guy. But Aljamain Sterling is, he's a bad motherfucker, dude. It's hard to say. Who knows? That's the beautiful thing about these fights. You can't ever know.
Yeah, I know, right? I feel like the buildup is so intense. Yeah, this is the first fight.
Where are we at time-wise, by the way, on this one?
We're going to wrap it up here real short. But I was just going to say, I feel like this is the first like UFC event that I've like actually been kind of investing into a little bit. Like I know a little bit about the two contenders, and there's been a buildup, and so I'm very excited for it. But
well, that's the beautiful thing about getting to know more about the sport is it can draw you in. It's like the, you know, all you really have to do is follow the UFC on Instagram, and it like gives you enough information where you're like, holy shit, I know that guy and I want to know about this. And before you know it, you're hooked, baby.
That's true. Yeah. I feel like I'd never even have to, go online to figure out when the fights are. Like, I feel like they do a good enough job with promotion that I usually will see it on the TV. Like, I don't watch TV, but if I go out to eat or something, they'll have like it promotionized and like they're promoting it. And so I just end up now, or people talk about it, you know, or whatever it is. I see a lot of clips on Instagram and stuff like that. But yeah, they do a great job with promotion. But yep, that's gonna conclude this episode of the show. To have Adam back. The shows will be like this from now on. A little bit better than just my iPhone microphone. But yeah, go check out Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, Dana White episode. And yeah, we're going to sound like idiots probably after this airs because the fight will have already happened. So
who knows? That's fine. That's how it goes. Knows.
But anyways, thank you guys for listening, and we will be back next week.
Oh yeah. Later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.